necessarily the church's book or the individual Christian's book. Now, the church should know what its Bible means before it goes out into the world with it. And at this symposium, we have been considering many aspects of the relationship between the Word and the church. But what if we thought of Scripture for a moment as the world's book? Now, this does not mean that Scripture must be seen as or reduced to a philosophy book or good literature. What if Scripture has a claim on the whole world, precisely because it is the Word of God addressed to His world? So that through Scripture, God makes a claim not just on the church, but on the world which He created and still sustains. Scripture claims to have God the Father as the one who speaks and saves through it by bringing hearers everywhere into His kingdom through repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus, whom God sent and gives the Spirit. Now, the world out there often recognizes Scripture won't settle for less, and so the world rejects Scripture, its Jesus, and those who speak and teach in His name. And the world's rejection has led the church to privatize her Scripture, to keep it safely in the church's pulpit or classroom, or to turn it inwardly towards the individual believer's personal growth, holiness, renewal, or piety. There is a place for communal hearing and reading of Scripture. There is a place for devotional use of Scripture, but at times we have lost the sense that Scripture has a claim on all human life. We have lost the sense of its universal trajectory and movement. We Christians can be way too shy and parochial in our conception and use of Scripture. We have made Scripture an insider's book, much poorer than God's own high view of Scripture and His power to claim outsiders for His kingdom. But Philip shows us another way. The deacon who became an evangelist is swept into Scripture's centrifugal outward-looking trajectory. For Philip, Scripture has a claim on the world beyond the narrow confines of Hebrew-speaking and Hebrew-looking Jerusalem, beyond the confines of familiar church, culture, and society, as it were. We have much to learn from Philip. God's Scripture drives Philip and the church into unknown territory, into areas of marginality, among strange people in both churched and unchurched societies. Recall how, along with others, Philip is tasked with the care of Greek-speaking poor widows in Jerusalem. The complaint was that only Hebrew-speaking widows were properly cared for, putting aside the Hellenistic or Greek-speaking Jewish widows and their needs. So Philip was chosen to serve as a deacon among this churched yet marginalized group of women. The outward-looking thrust of Philip's mercy work itself is shaped by Scripture, where Yahweh looks after widows, aliens, orphans, and the poor. And this outward-looking thrust of His mercy work shaped by God's own Word will also characterize His evangelistic use of Scripture when He deals later with questionable characters like Samaritans and the Ethiopian eunuch. Through Philip, God uses Scripture to claim outsiders for Himself. Whether these outsiders come from within the church, outside the church, or the gray areas in between. As an evangelist, Philip brings the Word of God outside the confines of narrow Jerusalem and Judea to the suspect Samaritans. Are these Samaritans churched or unchurched? The answer is yes. Samaritans would see themselves claimed by God. But no respectable Hebrew-speaking Jew would see Samaritans as worthy of being claimed by God in any ultimate sense. From a Jerusalem insider's churched point of view, the Samaritans were at worst unchurched and at best a fuzzy quasi-church category in God's plan of salvation. I have to use this quasi language because, you know, systematic theology and that kind of stuff. What do you use when the other categories don't quite fit? Samaritans were a marginalized group. So much so that after hearing the word and believing and being baptized in the name of Jesus, God still has to withhold the sending of the Holy Spirit to them until the apostles come from Jerusalem to testify to their conversion. God does not withhold the Spirit because there is some problem with the outsiders. The Samaritans are fine. God withholds the Spirit for the sake of the parochially minded, those who might see themselves exclusively as church. And in doing so, God makes the universality of the gospel shine all the brighter. Through the apostles, God wants to make perfectly clear to Jerusalem and to all that his word, and so his claim on human life, goes beyond the confines of our churched societies, our Jerusalem and Judean comfort zones. Philip uses scripture to proclaim Jesus to these outsiders. Here God loves the unlovable, claims those whom no one wants to claim through baptism into Jesus and the gift of his Spirit. Later, Philip deals with another outsider, the Ethiopian eunuch, a God-fearer who goes to the Jerusalem temple, but at the same time cannot enter the temple according to the law. Is he churched or unchurched? Yes. Another fuzzy category. A guy in the margins, in a gray area, neither here nor there, and yet in both church and unchurched places at the same time. But Philip does not fuss with questions about who belongs and who doesn't, because the point is that God is the one who claims the world. God claims the suspect, the questionable, the outsider we have questions about. The ones who look strange to us, that they don't really fit. God alone, whatever the case, will do the claiming, and he will elect through his word. As a servant of the word, Philip uses scripture to teach this Ethiopian about Jesus, the suffering servant, the one who is led to the cross as a lamb to the slaughter on behalf of the nations. What might Philip have taught the Ethiopian about the servant in Isaiah 53? We do not know the details. We only see the end result of the catechesis. We see the Ethiopian being claimed by God through baptism into Jesus. And the Ethiopian rejoiced. Indeed, this is what, at some fundamental level, all use of Scripture should lead to. The unlovable being claimed by God through baptism in the name of Jesus. And the joy of being claimed, of being called God's own. Philip uses Scripture to proclaim Jesus to those who are claimed by no one, because God has claimed the whole world, and not only the church, through his Scripture. Who are the Greek-speaking Jews, the Samaritans and the Ethiopians of our day, in our lives, in our families, in our own churches and communities? Who are these churched unchurched, or neither here nor there, outsiders in our midst. Those we have questions about. Who are these people nobody wants to fully claim? Who do not always fit our neat church and unchurched categories? Perhaps you too were an outsider once, but God has claimed and chosen you in Christ through baptism and brought you into his kingdom. Now God has made you the church, a Philip-like church. And so with the evangelist, we reclaim this outward-looking, inclusive, universal thrust of God's scripture. And with the Ethiopian, we rejoice in the blessings of that kingdom Jesus brings us into, where there is always room for more. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo, y del Espíritu Santo. Amén.